Demons are real. Demons are active. Paul told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and spiritual wickedness in high places. There are actually only a few demons who are restrained at the current time. Most of them are very active. Some people kind of think that they're all in hell. That's not true at this moment. They are working. They are very active. And we saw that demons are the angels that followed Satan in the rebellion. There was a third of them that followed Satan in that rebellion. And they made their choice. They never get a chance to choose again. They had one chance to choose, and they chose. We saw that the root of occult power, according to Acts chapter 16, verse 16, is the devil and demons. And that was the young damsel who had fortune-telling powers, genuine fortune-telling powers. And you remember when the demons were cast out of her, she lost her power. She had no more power. Now, I also want you to understand that demons inflict illness, disease, insanity, mental and physical and emotional distress. And we're going to look at that some this evening. Now, I'm not saying that all mental or physical or emotional distress is demonic, but what I'm saying is that some of it is a great deal more than some people would realize. So many of the mass shooters, if you look into their history, they were heavily involved in demonic and violent video gaming. They occupied their mind with that. They became possessed with that. And I've seen that happen over and over again with young people who find themselves in doing wild and bizarre things. They begin to occupy their minds with occultic things. It can be occultic games. It can be occultic comic books. Dungeons and Dragons was a big contributor to that in the years where I was a consultant for police departments, medical professionals, and parents in schools as well. But some of the things that I want to look with you quickly about some of the things that demons can do, not to Christians now. We'll be dealing, if we get time, with the Christian aspect of it in a minute. But in Matthew chapter 9, verse 32, and 33. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 32. And then it says, and they went out, and behold, they brought to him a man, brought to him a dumb man possessed with an evil spirit. Now, when they use the word dumb there, they're not saying that the man was ignorant in any way. It simply means that he was speechless. He could not speak. Demons were responsible for him not being able to speak. And if you have your Bible's there, turn over a couple in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 22, we read another account, and then they brought unto him one possessed of the devil, blind and dumb, and healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb man both spake and saw. So there are incidences very clearly recorded in the scripture where a demonic spirit can cause somebody to be unable to speak, can cause somebody not to speak or see. And in Luke chapter 13, 11 through 13, turn with me there, Matthew, Mark, and Luke in chapter 13. I'm in the wrong chapter, Luke. Let me try again. It says, and behold, there was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. She was bent way over. and could in no wise lift up herself. And Jesus saw her and called her to him and said to her, Woman, thou art loosed of thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight to the glory of God. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 and 15. And when they were come to the multitude, Matthew 17, verse 14. There came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he hath fallen in the fire and oft times into the water. He was suicidal, and the Lord Jesus Christ heals him. I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Now look at verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the what? The devil, the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came his disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, Remove hence and go yonder, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So you see a wide variety of physical and mental distresses there that were faced, and they were demonic, and I have seen a number of these things in dealing with people in the occult through the years, particularly when you try and go to talk with someone, and you can see the devil come over them, and they cannot speak. I encountered that on several situations. Now, I want to look at some more common characteristics with demon possession that we're seeing so much more in our culture today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. I remember standing on the shore of where this took place. When I was in Israel the last time, and I'm preparing a trip for Pastor Cloud again, and we'll be going in May, and he wants to go see that place again because we saw it at dusk and evening and couldn't take pictures, but we stood right here on the seashore where this took place in Mark chapter 5. And it says, and they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Now, I just want to talk to you about this. I've seen it happen very often. Those who dabble in the occult and demon possession, well, they dabble in the occult, and then they end up getting demon-influenced or demon-possessed. They become preoccupied with death. They'll start wearing black all the time. Now, I wear a black suit, but I mean, they'll start wearing things that relate to death. If you would, they start looking gothic, if you know what gothic is today. That's a movement today. And I mentioned this to you before, but if you're taking notes, you want to put down Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36. And let's go back quickly to Proverbs chapter 8 and in verse 36. It says, "He that sinneth against me, the Lord says." We know the context of the Lord from verse 35. But in Proverbs 8:36 says, "He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love what? Death." I become preoccupied with death. Death is not your friend. Death is our enemy. Death is the result of sin. But I've worked with so many people over the years, when they start getting themselves involved with the occult, they start focusing on death, and they start focusing on graveyards. How many of you have heard, particularly around Halloween time, all of the graveyard desecrations, all right? There's many graveyard desecrations, and I remember working with a husband and a wife who were very much involved in that at one time before they got saved, and they used to go and get dirt from the graveyards around, particularly the old graveyards, and they thought that that gave them some kind of power. And they wanted dead bones. And I told you here that when I covered the Jeffrey Dahmer trial, one of the reasons he was killing all those people was he was making a power altar. He had two complete skeletons, and he needed some other bones for his power altar that he was making. He was heavily involved in the occult, and the demons had so possessed him that he began to focus on those things. So if you see that your young people are beginning to be preoccupied, or for that I've seen young adults get so preoccupied with death and dying and killing, then very often there's demonic influence. And then the business of superhuman strength. We saw this back in Mark chapter 5. Let's look at Mark chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. It says, "And who had their dwelling in the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Interesting. A lot of times people who are involved in the cult have a drug connection as well. And as I told you, sorcery in the Bible is a translation of the word pharmakia, from where we get our word pharmacy. Not that I want them to tell any stories or any of that sort of things, but oftentimes you'll see superhuman feats of strength when people are high on drugs, and I believe that there's a great demonic element with that situation when they do that. And I remember interviewing a missionary who worked with American Indians. I'm a part Cherokee, and I don't want anything to do with their powwows, anything to do with a lot of their things, because it's occultic. But she actually has seen, when she was doing her missionary work, medicine men walk up the wall, very literally, when they were in a trance. The devil is a powerful adversary. You don't want to be messing with the devil. Moving on a little bit, we see uncontrollable violent rages as we get down in verse 4 when it says, "Neither could any man tame him." Go into a rage. And then there's super depression. Look at verse 5. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, shrieking. The word crying, you look up the word shrieking, making horrible things. Now, this next thing, and cutting himself with stones. I can't tell you how many people, and it seems to be particularly girls, but I have seen guys do it as well, who begin to become involved in the occult, and they start cutting themselves on the arms and on the legs and in different places. And I was talking with somebody in a business the other day, and he asked me what I was preaching about, and I told him the morning, and I said, I'm also preaching on demonic things. And he said, my daughter's having psychological problems, and she's starting to cut herself and do some of that. I said, man, make sure you try and get her some help. And so you often see that, and so the cutting and suicidal. I've told you about the Sun Prairie situation where there were several suicides amongst high school students, and then they found out that there had been a group of 50 young people who had been involved in the occult, and they had suicide packs and homicide packs. Because again, that focus on death. And then if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. In Luke chapter 8 and in verse 27. When the devil's in control, there's going to be immodesty. Because it says, and when, it's the same, it's the parallel passage, and when he went forth to the land, they met him out of the city, a certain man with devils a long time, who wear no clothes. Nudity. As our culture gets further and further away from God, I've seen that so many people that get involved in the occult, there's nudity and immorality involved. As we see our culture walking further and further away from the Lord, you see more exposed flesh and more exposed flesh. And I believe it's because of the demonic influence. But I have good news for you. You say it's about time we get some good news. I'm going to be sharing with you why a believer cannot be demon-possessed. Look what happens in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. In Mark chapter 5 and in verse 15, and they come to Jesus, and we're looking at the same story, they call him the maniac of Gadara, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, the multitude of devils that was cast out of him, sitting. Number one, he's controlled, because somebody who is demon-possessed is not controllable. They can't control themselves. Other people can't control them. So they see him sitting. What's the next? And what? Clothed. And what's the next? And in his right mind. I think the next thing is so funny. And they were afraid. I mean, they're afraid now. This guy who's running naked in the tombs, this guy who's cutting himself, this guy who's shrieking day and night, wreaking terror on all the people around, they see him sitting, wearing clothes, and thinking straight, and they're afraid. What a tragedy when they think somebody who dressed modestly, somebody who doesn't seek revenge, somebody who has values, they're afraid of them. We're kind of living in a culture like that. But I just think that's great. I'm thinking of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Man, oh man. Let's also look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 1 through 3. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village and preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. This is Jesus Christ. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom were seven devils were cast, out of whom when seven devils were cast. Okay, so there's Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene had demons cast out of her. But the interesting part about all of that is that after the demons were cast out, she became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess who was one of the first ones to the tomb of the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Now, she was. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. In Luke chapter 16 and in verse 9, I don't know what that reference is. Pardon me, that's a wrong reference. Never mind. But I do want to make this statement. Nowhere in the New Testament, no place, read it cover to cover, studied it cover to cover, nowhere in the New Testament is a believer ever said to be demonizomi. That means to have a demon or possess a demon. That's the Greek word that is strictly used for the unsaved. Salvation brings freedom from demon possession. Now, to be sure, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, it says this, "Neither give place to the devil." Now, what's the context of this? Well, if you back up, we could back up quite a ways, but we'll back up to just Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. It says, "Be angry and sin not." Or, in other words, in your anger, don't sin. "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." Resolve those things, because that's one of the things that gives place to the devil. Now, other things do, but let him that stole steal no more. But it is possible for a believer to give a beachhead, because if we look at that passage of Scripture there, the word place talks about neither give a coast, a spot. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Now, if you have given the devil a foothold in your life, and they can't be possessed, but they can give the devil permission to operate in their life, invite him in. What do you do once you've done that? Do you go and see the pastor and ask him to cast the devil out of you? Well, let me answer the question. Turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 7. In James chapter 4, and in verse 7, it says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God." And then it says, "Resist the devil." And that means stand against, to oppose the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you do that? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw what? Nigh to you. Then what do you do? It tells you, goes on further. It says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. So get it right. Get the devil out. Get into the Word of God. Confess it as sin. And tell him, I don't want you there. Christians cannot be demon-possessed, but Christians can give the devil a beachhead of operation. Some people do it when they allow alcohol into their life. Some people do it when they allow pornography into their life. Some people do it when they allow anger to control in their life. Some people, I mean, there's 101 ways that you can give the devil a beachhead in your life as a Christian. But I want you to understand that once you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is a dynamic transaction that takes place that's spoken of in Colossians chapter 1. And verse 13, so turn with me to the little book of Colossians in chapter 1 and in verse 13. In Colossians 1:13, I just love this. going to back up to Colossians 1:12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That word meet means fit. Thanks be to God. Unto God, which hath made us fit or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. And here it is. Here's the transaction that takes place. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Here's what's happening. Before we're saved, we are in the devil's dominion. We're his possession. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit takes us out of that dominion and translates us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. So don't mess with the things of the devil. You're just asking for trouble. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. It says this, going back to verse 17 again, it says, deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee. And here's what his mission was, Paul's mission was, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to what? Light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might, or that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You see that again? You're taken from the devil's dominion, the dominion of darkness, into the dominion of light. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 15. Here's what it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. Man, oh man, we don't have that spirit of bondage. We don't have that spirit of fear. And we'll pick up here for one last message. The next time we're going to talk about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about salvation gives us the power to overcome Satan. We're going to talk about that Christ keeps us from the devil's dominion. So I trust that you'll join us as we do one last study in this series.